The Final Battle. Lou. Power flooded my limbs and lungs, and I burned not with fire, but light. It shone through my bloody chemise, through the wounds across my body, bursting outward in blinding rays of magic. Though Coco's rain still fell thick and heavy around us, the drops didn't soak me as the others. No, my skin and hair absorbed each one, and they healed me, strengthened me, soothed my aching heart. They tasted of hope, of love. I found her tear-stained face amidst the wreckage, grinning and descending gently beside her. She'd done it. Though the city still smoked around us, undulating softly, though she would always grieve for Ansel, the black fire had gone. She'd conquered it. She'd conquered herself. Returning my grin, she clasped Beau's hand and nodded.
Lou.
Still crouched with a board in his hand, Reed looked up at me, his eyes brimming with tears, with love and relief and recognition. Awareness. It sparked between us like a living thing, as shining and bright as a pattern. He rose slowly to his feet. We stared at each other for a long moment.
You found me, I whispered.
I promised.
We moved at the same time, each staggering toward the other, our limbs tangling until I couldn't tell where his ended and mine began. Breathless, laughing, he swept me into the air, and we whirled round and round again. I couldn't stop kissing his smile, his cheeks, his nose. He didn't protest, instead laughing louder, tipping his face toward the sky. The smoke cleared as Coco watched us, the rain clouds too, until only a crystal winter night remained. For the first time in weeks, the stars glittered overhead. The waning moon reigned supreme. The beginning of the end. When at last Reed placed me on my feet, I punched his shoulder.
You absolute ass! How could you?
I seized his face between my hands, near feverish with laughter.
Why didn't you give me that sticky bun?
His own cheeks remained flushed, his smile wide.
Because it wasn't yours.
A fresh wave of screams sounded behind us, and we turned simultaneously, our giddiness puncturing slightly. The scene returned in degrees. Chasseurs and loups-garous still bashed in the street, soaked to the skin, bleeding, while pedestrians fled or fought. Some sobbed and clung to fallen loved ones in the mud. Others pounded relentlessly on shop doors, seeking shelter for the injured, for themselves. On either side of the street, witches had risen, barring all exits. I recognized some of them from the chateau, others from the blood camp. More of them than I'd ever believed existed. They must have crawled forth from every inch of the kingdom, perhaps the world. My skin dimmed as goose flesh rose. Worse still, across the street, Morgane climbed to her feet.
Here!
Celie slung her bag from her shoulder and upended it. Reed's bandolier spilled across the ground, his knives and seeds, her own injection. Coco and Beau swooped to retrieve their daggers, and I followed suit, my magic pulsing with eagerness. It sensed the danger here. It yearned to attack, to protect, as Morgane squared her shoulders, as she lifted her chin and met my gaze. Though the sounds of clanging steel and snapping teeth should have muted her voice, I still heard it crystal clear, like she stood right beside me.
Hello, daughter.
My own words rose calmly.
Hello, mother.
I glanced at Reed's bare feet, his sodden chest, my own pitiful chemise. Even the others wore only woolen garments, and Celie a gown, at that, leaving them woefully vulnerable to attack. Perhaps not from magic, but steel could cut just as deep. I took a deep breath. We couldn't fight like this. Not yet. Waving my hand, I scanned the white web of patterns for something more suitable, something defensive, something like a web. I grinned anew as the idea took hold. Nicolina had spoken of a spider deep within La Forêt des Yeux. L'Enchantresse, a cannibalistic creature with silk among the lightest and strongest materials in the natural world. I searched for the spiders now, spreading my awareness north, east, toward the ancient trees around the city, their homes. The patterns didn't follow, however, instead plunging directly into the street. I hesitated. Trees didn't live below. Perhaps the spiders had burrowed underground for winter. I didn't have time to speculate, however, not with Morgane across the street, flanked on either side by Josephine and Nicolina, not with witches closing in. With another deep breath, I pulled six identical cords. The pattern stretched widthwise until myriad fibers appeared, as thin as webs, and knit themselves tightly into armor. Dark and fitted, light and flexible, it replaced our clothing in a burst of glittering dust. Somewhere below, six spiders withered. Morgan clapped her hands in applause.
How clever you are, darling. How prettily you wear my magic. At last, you suit the company you keep. Thieves, all. I've stolen nothing from you, Maman. You've stolen everything.
Her emerald eyes glittered like broken glass, jagged and sharp. The emotion within them transcended malice into raw, unadulterated hatred.
But do not question. I am here to reclaim what is mine, and I will butcher every last man, woman, and child who attempts to keep it from me.
She jerked her chin, and the witches advanced in earnest.
Kill them all!
A mighty roar shook the city in response, and a dark wing shadowed the moon. Xena landed beside me a second later. The cobblestones cracked beneath the sheer weight of her. When she snorted derisively, flames spewed forth. Witch, werewolf, and huntsman alike leapt from its path. From atop Xena's back, dressed in armor of her own, Seraphine drew an ancient longsword. I couldn't help it. I laughed in delight. Coco had told me of Toulouse's and Thierry's torture. She'd told me of Xena's promise to eat my mother. Leaning around Xena's haunch now, I asked her, "What about dragons?" Xena punctuated the challenge with a fresh bout of flame. Snarling with rage, Morgan scrambled backward as chasseurs and witches charged. Balisardas flashed, magic erupted. Xena snorted again, launching into the air, plucking them from the street one by one and eating them.
Oh, that is disgusting, Beau said, grimacing. The indigestion alone.
Before he could finish, Morgan brought her palms together one last time. The sharp scent of magic flared. The ground trembled in answer. All across the fray, people fought to keep their footing. Even Philippe paused, staggering slightly, with his balisarda an inch from Terence's lupine throat. Reed tensed, his eyes narrowed.
Then, get down!
He tackled me from the platform, and we landed hard, whirling as branches shot forth from the very earth, splintering the church steps. They didn't stop there. Dozens more surfaced rapidly, larger than life, growing trunks and roots, shattering the beautiful stained glass windows, growing through them. Stone rained down on our heads, forcing us to scatter into the crowd. I immediately lost sight of Coco and Beau, Celie and Jean-Luc. Too short, too slight, I couldn't navigate the tide of people. I couldn't tell friend from foe. Only Reed's hand and mine kept a loup-garou from knocking me back to the ground. The trees kept growing. They crushed spires and mangled arches until Cathédrale Saint-Cécile de Césarine crumbled in ruin, until the forest reclaimed it. That explained the spiders. But it didn't make sense. The forest belonged to Claude, not Morgan. How had she... The trees have mobilized, and we shall follow, striking hard and true. The trees around the chateau. My stomach twisted. She'd brought her own soldiers. They didn't stop there, however, fracturing the street now, their branches catching hair and cloaks as they stretched toward the sky. The woman next to me screamed as one hooked her skirt, as it lifted her higher and higher until the fabric tore. The branch snapped. She plummeted toward the street. My magic darted wildly. Panicked, I fought to calm it, to concentrate, but the woman fell too quickly. Scant seconds before she hit the ground, the trees seemed to shudder. I stared incredulously as Claude Devereaux strolled into view. As he whistled a merry tune, as the tree itself bent, creaking and groaning, and its branches curled to catch the woman midair, to cradle her in a macabre embrace. Claude winked at me.
Fancy meeting you here, Poppet. How did you like my sister?
I choked on a laugh while the woman shrieked, contorting her limbs to escape the tree. It had ceased moving.
I thought you couldn't intervene.
And if not,
where have you been all this time?
He clicked his tongue playfully. His mere presence seemed to act as a shield. The crush of bodies waned around us, parted, as if all instinctively knew to change direction.
Tut, tut, Louise, he said, or I shall think you self-absorbed, though it pains me to admit you and your friends manage quite well without me, and I have an entire realm of the natural world to govern.
Like hell we can.
Bemused, I helped Reed untangle the woman from the tree. Self-absorbed. Pfft.
But again, I thought you couldn't...
Oh, you thought correctly, Peach.
Though Claude still smiled, the air around us thickened with the scent of rot, of decay. Poisonous toadstools split open at his feet. The loup-garou nearest us swelled with rage, snarling as if possessed, and attacked with newfound savagery.
I'm not intervening. Indeed, I am governing said realm as we speak.
His smile darkened at the last, and he turned to search the street. His eyes flashed cat-like.
And defending it from trespass.
I knew without asking for whom he searched.
And Morgana called me a thief.
How does she control them?
Reed yielded a step as the woman shoved him and fled up the street, still screaming hysterically.
The trees.
They loved her once, too.
With those forbidding words, Claude's frame nearly doubled in size, and he transformed in full. Enormous stag antlers burst from his head. Cloven hooves shredded his shoes. And the trees, they bowed to him as he advanced up the street as the woodwoes. Their king. Their god.
Wait!
He paused at my shout, arching a brow over his shoulder. The gesture seemed too human on his animalistic features now.
My mother!
I continued with both anticipation and dread.
What will you do to her?
Those yellow eyes blinked. His voice rumbled deep, like that of a bear's roar.
She has invaded my realm, my being. I will punish her.
Punish her? He turned and disappeared in the trees without another word. Too late, I realized I should follow. He'd left little doubt of his intention. He was a god, and she had exploited him. Though he'd warned her, though the triple goddess herself had stripped her of power, she hadn't listened. She hadn't surrendered. My battle had become their battle. Claude would lead me straight to Morgane, and together we could... Reed pulled me in the opposite direction, where the crowd flowed thickest.
We need to evacuate these people.
What? No!
I shook my head, but without Claude to protect us, the crush resumed.
No, we need to find Morgane.
Look around, Lou.
He didn't dare let go of my hand, even as those nearest us fled a Dame Rouge who'd torn the beating heart from a man's chest. Though they hammered against shop windows, pleading for entry, the merchants barred their doors. On both ends of the street, blood witches had cut open their arms. Where their blood spilled, black vines twisted skyward, forming a thick hedge, a barricade.
These people, they have nowhere to run. They're innocent. You heard Morgane. She won't stop until all of them are dead.
But I...
Claude is a god. If he intends to kill Morgane, he'll kill her. We have to mitigate the casualties.
My magic pulsed beneath my skin, urging me to listen, to go with him. He was right. Yes, of course he was right. With one last anxious glance at Claude's back, I nodded, and we sprinted toward Father Achille and Gabrielle, Etienne's sister, who'd been trapped in a circle of vines. A blood witch coaxed the thorns tighter around them. Behind, Celie rushed Violette and Victoire to safety in the nearest shop, a pâtisserie manned by none other than Johannes Pan. At Gabrielle's cry, he burst into the street with a rolling pin, shouting and swinging it wildly. It struck the blood witch's head with a sickening crunch. When she crumpled, her thorns shriveled, and Father Achille and Gabby leapt free.
Come, come!
Pan ushered Gabby toward him while Reed, Jean-Luc, and Father Achille converged. Other witches did too, their eyes intent on the three little girls. It seemed they still planned to exterminate the Lyon line, regardless of Auguste. Drawing a deep breath, I plucked a pattern, and it shimmered and expanded like a film over the pâtisserie. The same protection existed over Chateau Leblanc, over the door to the castle's treasury. It was a piece of my magic itself, a piece of old Dame des Sorcières who'd come before me. As it left my body, the white patterns dimmed, just a bit. My connection to them weakened, a worthy sacrifice. None would enter the pâtisserie but those I permitted. I caught Gabby's hand as she passed, squeezing fiercely.
Stay inside, I told her.
My eyes met those of Violette and Victoire, Beau's sisters, Reed's half-sisters.
All of you.
Though Gabby and Violette nodded fervently, I didn't like the stubborn set of Victoire's chin. Celie pushed all three into the shop before ushering a hysterical couple in after them.
Cut down the barricades!
Father Achille pointed to the thorn hedges.
A handful of chasseurs fought to drive the witches back.
Anyone with a blade?
We have no blades, a panicked man said, pushing forward. Reed thrust his balisarda at him in answer.
You do now. Go.
When more men clambered forward, hands outstretched, Reed tore another knife from his bandolier, another and another, until none remained.
What are you doing?
I asked in alarm. Voice grim, he lifted his hands.
I am a weapon.
Each man turned and fled toward the vines, hacking at the thorns with all their might. Without pause, Reed pointed at the neighboring shops. To Jean-Luc, he said,
break down the doors. Get these people inside every building. Lou and I will follow behind to enchant them locked.
He broke off as Philippe and a score of huntsmen blasted through the witch's line, slaughtering them with brutal efficiency. Bite wounds bled freely on his leg. Leveling his balisarda at Reed and me, he snarled,
kill them!
I lifted my own knife and stepped in front of Reed. We were weapons, yes, our magic sharper than any blade, but only as last resorts. If he taught me anything, it was not to cut myself. He wouldn't either. Before I could strike at Philippe, however, Jean-Luc planted his feet before both of us. To my surprise, his handful of chasseurs did too.
Don't be stupid, Philippe. These people are not our enemies.
Philippe's eyes bulged.
They're witches. They're helping us, another chasseur snapped.
I didn't recognize him. I didn't care.
Open your eyes before you kill us all. Do your duty. Protect the kingdom, the one beside him added. Children!
Achille pushed roughly between them.
We don't have time for this, nor the forces to stand divided. Those with balisardas must strike against our attackers. He's right.
Reed nodded, already scanning the street beyond. Huntsmen fought witch, fought werewolf, while both sides fought each other. Pandemonium reigned.
Chasseurs, if you cannot kill, aim for their hands. Dame Blanche cannot cast accurately without dexterity. Cut them off at the wrist, but do not draw blood from a Dame Rouge under any circumstance. Unless dead, their blood will maim you. How do we tell the difference?
The first chasseur asked.
Dame Rouge are heavily scarred. Strike quickly and strike true. Leave the werewolves and leave the trees. Leave the...
Philippe's face flushed puce. He jerked his head back and forth.
We will not. Chasseurs, to me. Do not listen to these heretics. I am your captain, and we will strike fast and true.
To prove his point, he stabbed his balisarda into the heart of the nearest tree. Claude's roar reverberated from somewhere beyond the cathedral. Face twisting in delight, Philippe thrust deeper.
Cut them down, all of them. Tree, werewolf, and witch alike. No.
I pushed past Jean-Luc as Philippe's huntsman obeyed, goring the trees with brutal efficiency. Roots snapped upward like the crack of the whip to ensnare them.
No, stop!
But agonized shouts soon sounded from the hedges, and I turned to see witches impaling men on the thorns.
Shit.
Reed tore after them without hesitation. His hands moved in the air, searching, pulling, as fresh magic burst around us. Three of the witches screamed in response, and fresh burns licked up Reed's arms. But he couldn't save the men. Without balisardas, each person here stood vulnerable, including Reed. The fourth witch clenched her fist, and Reed stumbled, clutching his chest.
Shit, shit, shit.
My feet moved instinctively. Seizing the balisarda from a trapped chasseur, I sprinted toward him. Veins bulged in his neck, his face. His hands moved instinctively to his bandolier for a knife. It came away with only seeds. Tossing them aside, he collapsed on his hands and knees. I hurled the balisarda straight through the witch's forehead. Zena took care of the rest. Her jaws snapped viciously as she swooped low, incinerating witch and thorn alike. When the flame abated, I wrenched the balisarda from the witch's skull and shoved it at Reed.
I am a weapon!
Panting, I imitated his stupid voice. Breathless laughter rose. I didn't fight it, despite the gruesome circumstances, despite the charred witches at our feet. I'd never fight laughter again, not for their sake.
The world shall tremble and fear me. Shut.
His own voice broke on a gasp of laughter.
Up.
I dragged him to his feet.
My enemies shall rue the day they ever dared to challenge. I'm fine.
He shook his head as if to clear it.
Go, help the others.
I am. Pressing a hard kiss to his lips, I shoved him back toward the pâtisserie.
I'm helping them by helping you, you great selfless prick. If you give that balisard away again, I'll make you swallow it. Consider chivalry dead.
He huffed another laugh as we rejoined the fray. The next moments passed in a blur of magic and blood. Following Reed's instruction, free huntsmen hacked at witches' hands, while those trapped in Claude's trees hacked at roots. Father Achille led a party of able-bodied men and women to the nearest smithy for weapons. Those unable to fight followed Seely into boucheries and confiseries, any shop that would open its doors. Jean-Luc and Reed kicked down the rest. I followed behind, feeding my magic into each lock. The witches were undaunted. I felt them attack each door, each window, their patterns hissing and striking like snakes against my magic. They taunted those within, taunted me, whispering the ways they would kill them. Reed and Jean-Luc hacked their way through them, leaving a trail of bodies behind. Halfway down the street, Reed noticed my pale face, and his brows furrowed. I only shrugged and continued. It didn't matter. Fewer allies littered the ground than foes. Though Xena couldn't breathe fire freely, not without roasting us in the process. She snatched witch after witch from the street. When they backed Coco and Toulouse into a corner, she plucked the two free. When they pursued Beau and Thierry, the former shouting for Coco at the top of his lungs, Seraphine cut them down from above. We'd prepared for this. Blaze and his pack, Troupe de Fortune, even Jean-Luc and his chasseurs. All around, they exacted their vengeance. Liana and Terence gnawed hands from wrists, while Toulouse and Thierry injected a trio of witches with hemlock. Still, overwhelming unease crept down my spine. It near paralyzed me. Morgane had vanished without a trace. As the battle spread down the streets, I searched for her, for Claude. Any sign of horn or moonbeam hair. He could have disposed of her already, but for some strange reason I didn't think so. The air in the city remained foul with the stench of magic and rot. Where balisardas had pierced the trees, dark sap wept like blood. Fungi crept up the front of homes, of the castle itself. The entire atmosphere felt charged, angry, and continued to build. More than once I swore I heard Morgan's laughter. My unease deepened to dread. For his part, Reed had procured three more balisardas, from where, I didn't know, for Gabby, Violette, and Victoire, who cropped up every few minutes, hissing and spitting and bloody in their pursuit of those who pursued them. He and Beau had exploded, near apoplectic with rage, on the third time.
They are trying to kill you!
Beau had torn open the door of Soleil et Lune and thrust them inside.
I swear to God, I will tie you to those seats! They're trying to kill you, too!
Victoire had snarled as Reed slammed the door behind. She'd pounded on the door.
Let us out! Let us fight!
Another bout of laughter drifted on the wind, and I whirled, searching. The hair rose on my neck. I hadn't imagined it that time. She'd sounded close enough to touch. In proof of my point, Reed frowned at the theater door.
What was that?
Lock them in.
What?
His gaze snapped to mine. Sensing my intent, he stepped forward, but Victoire flung the door open once more. He hesitated.
Lou, what are you? Where are you going?
I didn't answer, already racing down the street, ignoring his shouts. It didn't matter how many times Beau interceded, how many people Reed led to safety. No one was safe here, not truly. Not with Morgane still pulling the strings. Every move she'd ever made had been calculated. Tonight was no different. She'd known Claude and Xena would join us. She'd known about the loup-garou, too. And she would have taken offensive action. The witches would keep coming. They wouldn't stop until they'd finished this, destroying the crown, the church, their persecutors at last. But witches alone couldn't down a dragon. They couldn't kill a god. No. These witches were the defense, not the offense. And this was undoubtedly a trap.
Where are you?
I slid down a side street, following a flash of moonbeam hair ahead. Reed's voice faded behind.
I thought you didn't want to play anymore. Come out. Come out and face me, Maman. That's what you want, isn't it? Just the two of us?
Another street. Another. I gripped my dagger in one hand, white patterns coiling and twisting through cobblestones, trash bins, wooden doors and broken windows and herb gardens. She laughed again. When I darted after the sound, bursting into Brindel Park, a hand snaked out to catch mine. I nearly stabbed Manon straight in the eye.
She isn't here, Louise.
Voice quiet, she didn't meet my gaze, hers darting all around us. Twin gashes slashed each cheek. Though one bled freely, fresh, the other looked older. It had started to scab. She backed away, pulling her clammy hand from mine and melting into the shadows.
You must turn back. What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be with our sisters?
She hesitated at the bitter note in my voice. Quieter still, she said,
You speak as if we have a choice. Where is she? Tell me, Manon. She'll kill us.
When she brushed the healing wound with her fingertips, I understood. Though Manon hadn't revealed our identities to Morgane, she had let thieves escape. Backing away once more, Manon touched her other cheek now, the one with fresh blood.
Or your huntsman will.
My stomach sank. Conscious of every step, every sound, I followed after her, extending a hand, a lifeline.
Come with me. I won't let anyone hurt you.
She only shook her head.
The dragon will fall, but still we're outmatched. Morgane knows this. Don't allow her to manipulate the...
A branch snapped behind us. I jumped, slashing my knife backward, but Coco's voice rose in a shout. She lifted her hands wildly.
It's me! It's only me! What's going on? I saw you tearing past earlier. Is it Reed? Is it Beau? I lost track of him and... They're both fine.
I clutched my chest with insidious relief.
It's Manon, she said. She said that...
But when I turned to face her once more, she wasn't there. She'd vanished. In her place stood Josephine and Nicolina.